Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And the subject of racism in Ireland can be very, very difficult and sensitive as well, as you'll hear in this next piece that we've been contacted about. And you will have noticed that since we started discussing racism, we have not and will not speak the N-word in full. And that was beautifully exemplified, if not horrifically exemplified, in Trey Jones' incredible letter. And he said, I think the phrase he used was, I've been called the N-word, and that's the way we're going to keep it. And I know people write the N-word when they're trying to, since John Steinbeck's, isn't it, Mice and Men? But as one teacher said yesterday, she let them, it's on the course, you read the book, but she won't let anyone use that word if they're reading it aloud, which is fascinating, and I think most people would agree with that. And that's why we've bleeped out the full use of that word in this letter.
I listened to that young girl on your radio programme yesterday discussing racism in an Irish secondary school, and I want to write to you about our experiences. I have a 14-year-old son of African background. He is the only black kid in his class. He is in second year, and this year they read Of Mice and Men, the book set in racist America in the 1930s, and is frequent use of the N-word. There is one black male character in the book who is isolated, unempowered and abused. According to the teachers, this is not a racist book, but it's supposed to teach us about the evils of racism. However, the reality for my son is that he is sitting there identifying with the black male character. He is a big lad and looks older than his age. He's been called the N-word on the sports pitch. He is randomly searched every time we go through the airport since he was 11. He's been stopped by the Gardaí outside his own house and asked what he was doing there. We live in a white area and he doesn't look like he's from here. So, when he is sitting in the class, he is reading about his own lived experience. When they were reading the book, he was squirming when the N-word was read out loud by his white classmates and teacher. He felt like they were all looking at him. At 14, he spends all his time and energy trying to fit in and trying to get the respect from his peers. The other black boys that he knows in the other schools had the same experience. They recommended to him that in the class he shouldn't look up, he should just not make eye contact, and he should look at his boots. I don't think that's a very good educational experience.
Okay, that was read by Maeve. Rani Grinnell. Rani, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
It's a powerful communication. Your testimony, please, Rani.
Well, as I said in the email, I have been living in Ireland since 1962. I'm 62 years old. And initially, I didn't actually experience any racism in Ireland in the early 60s. Most of the foreigners who were here were either in college. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, yes, that's why they were here. My family moved here because my mother felt her sons couldn't feed themselves properly. So we all moved.
Okay.
She
followed her children to make sure they looked after themselves. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So we had to move on that to feed my brothers.
Okay.
One of the things I was thinking about when I've been listening to this is the fact that I did grow up for 4 years in South Africa, and I did go back in 1965 for 3 years. And the whole idea of apartheid and racism. Mm-hmm. South Africa, apartheid was the given. And there was separate development, which is what apartheid means, separate development. And because of separate development, we lived within our own cultural groups. So long as you stayed in that group and had no reason to move out of it, like to go into the town or whatever, you didn't actually experience racism.
Right.
It was only when I went into the work world in Ireland that I started experiencing it. And it's kind of, it's really odd to say that I didn't experience it in South Africa. Now, you have to bear in mind I was very young, so I wasn't a teenager going out, or I wasn't a person working, you know, in a mixed environment or anything like that. But it was a very secure, very happy life, you know.
So you started working in Ireland. That's where you first encountered personal racism. What happened?
Yes. Well, I suppose the first thing that happened was I was actually... my dog has just come in. I was actually asked to start working in a school, a primary school. I'm a drama teacher. And I've been talking to the principal for 2 months on the phone. She was a nun, although that has nothing to do with it, really. So we were talking on the phone all of June, all of July, discussing what we would do with the classes and how I would structure them. And it was wonderful. We had great conversations.
Yeah.
And in August, I suggested that maybe we should meet face to face and I'd get a tour of the school and I'd know exactly where I was basing myself and things like that. So I arrived at the school and knocked on the office door, and the principal, the nun, opened the door, and the look of shock on her face, Joe, was actually quite comical. And she just said to me, "Oh no, we have Irish teachers who can do this," and she slammed the door on my face.
And the job was gone.
Oh God!
But you got the job.
Yes, I know, but she,
I didn't. Did you take it further, as they say?
No, I didn't. Being a self-employed teacher in a school, you don't really have, you know, recourse to anything like that. So I stood there for a while, kind of reassessing what had just happened. And then I drove home, told my family, and that was the end of it.
Okay, the incident when you were in your car. So the incident in Henry Street in Dublin.
Oh yes, that
don't and don't say the full word. Just people know what.
Oh no, I won't. I know won't. You won't. Of course, no. I won't. Well, there were two words there I can't say. Isn't it? But yes, it was. It would have been in the early 80s, I suppose. 83, 84, maybe 83. And my husband and I. My husband is Irish, and we were just strolling along Henry Street, you know, and with the baby in the buggy, and this woman just casually, I didn't even notice her walking towards us, but obviously she had noticed us as she was approaching us. And she just said to my husband, "N, lover," and just continued on her way. And it again was, oh, did you really hear that? And again, we just shrugged it off and kept walking, you know. And I don't understand why we didn't confront. Maybe it was just something that we just never thought to turn around and confront somebody. And I think as well there's a little element of fear that if you did confront someone that it might escalate into something that you didn't want to do.
And that's a continuing theme in the calls over the last 10, nearly 2 weeks. Yeah. Stay there, Randy, for a sec. I want to bring in Dr. Tamal Anadavi Neagan. Tamal, your testimony, please.
Yeah, hi. Thanks very much for having me. I mean, I moved to this country 7 years ago. I was born and raised in Germany. And my parents are originally from Sri Lanka, came as refugees.
Okay.
And I was fascinated to listen to the lady earlier. I mean, I had my fair share of episodes of racism here in Ireland.
Okay.
I did experience micro and macro racism back in Germany as well, but they were not as open as here in the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite surprising for me. I had stressed on numerous occasions that I am a scholar in international law with a focus on colonialism, post-colonialism.
Okay.
So when I moved to this country 7 years ago, I thought those similarities in common suffering due to colonial oppression would translate into common solidarity among people of different colors. However, I must say that I also had my fair share of this discrimination. I did my PhD back in NUI Galway at the Irish Center for Human Rights, and in the streets I was told to go back and if I was carrying a bomb in my trolley, and if I was from ISIS. So it was very upsetting. I knew that these persons were alkali, so I didn't go and further approach it. I just walked back home. I was just coming back from an exhausting trip. But then after I moved to Dublin, you know, these incidents of racism escalated as I've never seen or experienced before. When I was cycling on the street, I would, you know, people would throw stuff at me. Or I even one day when I was finishing my lectures from university and I was cycling back home, I was, you know, called the N-word, also the P-word. And I had to even change my cycling route because I didn't want to be subjected to those moments of discomfort anymore. And this continues. You know, only last week I was.
Dr. Tamil, you're saying that you've experienced racism in other countries, but in terms of open abuse,
yes,
Ireland is different. There's more of it in Ireland. This is your experience.
Sure. In Germany, or in any other country that I visited, say I would have experienced some subtle racism by individuals, private individuals, but also authorities. When, for example, I was one day in Genova at the passport control to come back to Ireland, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And the lady said the passport control was flipping my German passport up and forth and asked me at some point if this passport is actually genuine and where I got it from. And I looked at them and I said, listen, I am German. What's your trouble? What's your problem? So it was very discomforting to have those experiences. There were experiences in Germany where, you know, as a young child, I would stand in the bakery and people would ignore me or wouldn't see me in the pool of white people. So this happened, you know, it wasn't like an open racism uttered at me, but this expressive form of racism was only here. And when I was... Mm-hmm. teaching. I mean, it's not only my experience. It's also the experience of my students, and I'm privileged at my university that I've seen so many cultures and different people from different backgrounds.
Now, what do your students tell you, Tamil?
So my students, for example, you know, we were talking about race in international law, and we had like an open discussion after the lecture. One of my students from Nigeria who came here to do her undergrad and then further on her postgrad at the university, she said that every time when she's at the Lewis station, the people would make monkey noises, and this would happen on a daily basis. And I asked her, well, how do you encounter this? And she said, you know, at some point you turn very hard to it and you don't listen to it. You put on your earphones and don't listen to it anymore because there is no point to encounter it anymore.
Now, as we discovered yesterday, as we spoke about yesterday, the main subject of the discussion over the last 10 days has been people who are not white, Irish but not white, and being abused for their colour, but also black, Asian and minority ethnic groups is the phrase, because as we heard yesterday, people were being abused because they looked as if they were from China, or they looked as if they were from India, or they looked as if they were from Vietnam. So I'm glad the education is expanding. Tamil, thanks indeed. I'm over time, unfortunately. Thanks to all our callers, those we didn't get to. By the way, unanimous response an agreement from the letter at the start of the programme and the subsequent letter from another parent, that about discovering that their daughter, preteen, was making sexual videos, and men were encouraging them to send them to them, so to speak. Everyone, without exception, said, go to the Gardaí and go now. Parent line, by the way, is 1890-927-277. We are open always 24/7 on joe@rt.ie. Angus McInally produced, and Ray Darcy's next.